Right, so in this episode, I'm going to talk to you about having a bit more faith in yourself, and I'll tell you a story actually about how stress is actually quite good for you. So let me set the scene. I've just got in actually. So the day is Saturday, I believe. Yes, it is. And every 2 weeks, I have the clean around. And normally my diet is high fat, no carbs. Don't kill me on this, but no fruit or vegetables whatsoever. I know, I know. So anyway, I just eat this, but it gives me energy, so why not, right? And the cleaner, bless her, sorry, she I let her in and she goes, "Have you got a plate? Have you got a plate?" And I know what that means. It's like Pavlov's dogs. I start salivating immediately. So I go back, I go out for the day, or normally I go for a walk, and today I was absolutely gasping for a brew because I was like, "Oh my God, I didn't have any milk." And I was, "Oh my God, I'm gonna die." So I thought I'd go to the local caf, right? And the local caf is a bit like a builder's caf. It's like it's cool, everyone goes, it's the community thing, right? So I go to the local caf and Claire's there with her dog. And her dog is a pug and its back legs have gone. So normally you see Claire in the park with the dog and she's normally got it in a pram. So anyway, I go there and I order me tea that I'm gasping for. And Claire's sitting there and we're chatting. And she's telling me about everyone in the neighbourhood and what's going on. Not in a horrible way, just kind of catching up and, "Oh, did you know, blah, blah, brought his dog in?" Because she used to be a dog groomer. She used to own the dog shop and now she owns the cat. She knows everyone. So then an older guy comes in. She goes, "Oh, that's Uncle Bob." Says, is he your uncle?" And she goes, "Oh no, he's just Uncle Bob." And I thought, no questions asked, I'm just gonna go along with the Uncle Bob. And she said, "He lives on the island, right?" And I thought, I don't know, if I didn't know there was an island. So I go, "Okay, yeah." She says, "He can't come in when it's rough days, so he has to row over in this little rowboat." So I'm thinking, oh okay, he lives on the river, right? Okay, and there's an island. So anyway, he's quite old. And he used to be an engineer. So anyway, he was able to kind of row over today and get a cup of tea. So he comes in and then we're chatting and catching up with things. And then Tim walks in. Now, Tim is a neighbour of mine and he's a local gardener. And he starts telling us about how much Welsh he knows. So then we start talking and stuff. And anyway, I'm in there for 3 hours, aren't I? So there was no walk whatsoever. And we're having a catch up and then she shares a bit of cake with me and I think, oh, I normally don't eat any sugar. And I thought, well, this would be nice. So we having a chat. And I said, oh, I've got a dog coming. So I'll have to bring him in. So I'm prepping them all. Uncle Bob, Tim, Claire. They all know that this dog's coming in and we're going to introduce the dog to the pug. And then I think, oh, I better go to the butcher. So I'll go to Sean's. And she goes, "Good, Sean's." I says, yeah, I'm going to Sean's. I said, "Do you want anything? I can get it and then bring it back." She goes, no. He normally drops it off at the calf's." I said, "All right then." So I go to Sean's and we're catching up, and one of the lads is expecting a babby any minute. So I'm like, right, okay. And then I go to a well-known supermarket. Ugh, no one's chatting, just no one, and that's the difference, you see. So anyway, I come back, carrying my bags, walk into my flat, whatever it is, and well, the plate that my cleaner asked for is now chock-a-block and full of sweets. Yeah. So I can't wait. I'm going to have a cup of tea in a minute and have some sweets, And I think the moral of the story is that A, you must get out of the house, you really should. But you only have to go to your local caf once or twice and they start to talk to you. And then they start introducing you to other people and then opportunities come your way. And then the community is really, really important. Doesn't matter where you live, find a local caf. And she knew so much about everyone. Like, she knows the celebrities as well, and everyone and anything. And she was filling me in on things. And then one of my neighbors has stuck something on my door, which is like there's a poetry evening or something. I think it's next Saturday. And I thought I might go soon because normally he plays the flute. And then he plays it while someone's doing poetry. I don't know, I need to figure this out. And again, I saw him. So his name is Will, and he was in the cafe the other week. And it's like, once your face starts to be seen, people start talking to you. They really do. So I always advise, and I always think you should really, you just go to your local cafe. I reckon I could write a whole book about stories from a local cafe, because the stories that people tell you. I mean, Uncle Bob speaks French and German because his dad was French. Tim speaks Welsh, and he made me laugh because we said, "Oh, he went to Wales recently, because I'm three quarters Welsh and he's Welsh." And he says, "Yeah," and then I realised that I actually didn't speak any Welsh because no one understood what I said. So we were all kind of laughing, and I said, "Oh, I'm learning Dutch and Arabic," and then the Albanian chef popped his head round and he said, "Oh, all you need is Dutch, and then all the languages kind of build from that." So we were having a bit of a chat, and then we were having a laugh about how the guy over the road who does the dog grooming, he's from Greece, and the chef is from Albania, and the Greek guy, he asks Claire to make sure his rubbish has been put out properly because he's not open on a Monday. And then he pays the Albanian chef £20, and the Albanian chef won't accept the £20 because in his culture it's not right. And the Greek guy loses his shit every week because he's like, no, in my culture you have to accept it. And then the English ones, depending on where you're from, so I'm more Midlands Northern, I'm like, no, you should do things for free. I don't understand. And then Claire's like, well, I'm a Southerner, we'll just take it. So we're all having this absolute melting pot of a laugh because it's like we're all from kind of different areas and all our cultures are so different. Like, I'm from England, but I'm from the Midlands, right? And it just reminded me of a conversation I had the other day, which is like, oh my God, like it's so absurd in my mind to accept any kind of money or anything to do anything for anybody, you know? And I think the Midlands and up north are very much like that. We just do things for free. And it just made me laugh. It just made me laugh. And then, so anyway, I need to fill you in because Claire gave me this amazing story. So if I don't mind sharing it with you, she says they're in the zoo. So I don't know which zoo, she didn't say, but she said all the monkeys were like depressed and they just weren't mating. They just weren't doing anything. And she says, and one of the lions or tigers or whatever, one of the big cats, anyway, escaped. And it kept walking past the monkey cage, you know, on its roam and kind of trying to get out the whole zoo as a whole. And the monkeys were going ape shit. Like, you know, like really losing their shit. And anyway, what happened was they managed to catch this big cat and put it back in it where it belonged in this cage. Well, it doesn't actually belong in there, but you know what I mean? And they realized that the monkeys got pregnant soon after that and then started breeding. And the zoo couldn't understand that all of a sudden, after years of trying to get them to mate, they wouldn't mate. And then they put it down to the fact that the monkeys got so stressed that they panicked, thinking, shit, we need to mate because our lives are at risk. And then from then on, they kind of induced this stress towards the monkeys and the other animals to get them to kind of kickstart the life a little bit. And I said to Claire, that's a really interesting example because if you think about our fishbowl lives, we're indoors more than we've ever been in our lives. Our home environments are so comfortable now, where if you look at like the 1900s, you would have a table and a couple of chairs because everyone was outside. So your house was shelter, not for living in. Very basic things. And now we're at a point where we're not breeding. I'll speak for myself. Yeah. And we're not settling down and we're not really, you know, moving towards the future. We've become quite stale, really, and stagnant and, you know, health issues and things like that. And quite like these monkeys in the cage, I think sometimes we need a kick up the ass. We need some anxiety and we need to kind of think, you know, we perform better under stress. That is an absolute common denominator. That is a common conception throughout any species. And when you are faced with, oh my God, my life's at danger or something like that, I need to plan for my future. And I remember when I was really ill, I was just remembering thinking I'm going to take my health more seriously. and I don't want to be ever ill again and it's boring. So think about that. Think about that example, how actually here we are bitching about being depressed and anxious all the time, and the doctors are so full of people with anxiety issues, and people are popping meds left, right, and centre like they're going out to a rave. And it's like, actually, that anxiety is actually quite good for you in small doses. The problem is if we don't recognize that, what's going to end up happening is that you will feel a slight bit of anxiety and then it will feel massive. I mean, anxiety itself will kind of convince you of that anyway because of the panic factor. But if you kind of go, hang on a minute, this might be good for me, maybe I can use it. I know when I get anxious, which is very rare because I've got that disorder where I don't release any cortisol, well, much of it. But when I do get concerned, I use it. I go, right now I need to work out because it's the only fuel that can get me, get me going. It's just this, I get anxious socially a little bit. I'm quite shy. So if I know that, then I'll hit the gym about a week before just to burn off the energy, really. Otherwise, I just sit there and mull around in my own brain. Yeah. So use that example as a as an example for what it's meant to be, obviously, but as a recognition that perhaps all is not bad, and perhaps what you're going through is a bit of a kick in the right direction. I know it can feel like it's doomsday and our backs are against the wall, but ultimately, perhaps this is a good thing. Perhaps it's going to kickstart our evolution, whether it's about breeding or just our evolution within our own dynamic, So I hope that helps. It's a short one today. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to tell you where I live because I don't want to, but get to your local cafe because it's good fun and there's lots of stories. And we're all sitting there. I had two teas and half a cake, and now I've come home to a pile of biscuits. My cleaner is so cute. I said to her, "Why are you so good to me? I don't understand." And I didn't realise, but apparently it means a lot to her because before I throw anything out or before I sell anything, I always ask her first. And at Christmas, I had this cake stand that I wasn't using. So I said to her, "Would you like it?" And she said that she had some family round and she would really like it, and I wouldn't take any money off her. And she said I'd treat her better than any other client, which I think is a shame. I think she should give me the list of clients and I'll go round and have a word. But yeah, that's not very nice, is it? But so just these little things. Yeah, it seems nice. But yeah, so don't relax. Don't worry and just relax. Do relax. Don't not relax. So do relax. And just accept anxiety as a fuel rather than something that needs to be dreaded. All right. Love you loads, as always.